Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 267. Our God is all in all, His children cannot fear. See baseless evil fall, and know that God is here. Hymn number 267. Shahidat from Maryland will read from the scriptures.
I will read from the book of Psalm, chapter 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the times of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto thy will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer, and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, who which art in heaven, our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one, thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 237. Oh, may we be still and seek him, seek with consecration whole, listening thus to hear the message, far from sense and hid in soul. Hymn number 237.
Thank you.
welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, any other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our daily lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. You can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available for children just about anywhere. Many of our students do not live in the area, but they attend by telephone. The Sunday school has its own dedicated teleconference number. So if you have a child of Sunday school age and you don't live in the area, your child can also attend. Just call the regular church number. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school. And our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives improved much, much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we do have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you do come in person, you can bring the whole family. We have quite a few websites, 21 in all, I believe, all in different language. And each one contains the very finest of Christian Science literature. As a result, many of you have found one or more of our websites and have found the healing power of Christian Science. And for this, we are very, very grateful. And one of the articles that I'd like to point out on our English language website is an article by Edward Kimball entitled "Fearlessly Meet the Claim." And he's referring to claims that you aren't perfect in God right now. Excellent article, and I recommend it highly. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from the Christian Science textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Mara from Mississippi.
Page 607, Cataracts Quickly Cured. I wish to add my testimony to those of others and hope that it may be the means of bringing some poor sufferer to health, to happiness, and to God. I was healed through simply reading this wonderful book, Science and Health. I had been troubled periodically for many years with sore eyes and had been to many doctors who called the disease iritis and cataract. They told me that my eyes would always give me trouble and that I would eventually lose my sight if I remained in an office, and advised me to go under an operation. Later on, I had to wear glasses at my work, also out of doors as I could not bear the winds, and my eyes were gradually becoming worse. I could not read for longer than a few minutes at a time, otherwise they would smart severely. I had to rest my eyes each evening to enable me to use them the next day. In fact, gaslight was getting unbearable because of the pain, and I made home miserable. A dear brother told me about Christian Science and said that if I would read Science and Health, it would help me. He procured for me the loan of the book. The first night I read it, it so interested me, I quite forgot all about my eyes until my wife remarked that it was 11 o'clock. I found that I had been reading this book for nearly 4 hours, and I remarked immediately after, I believe my eyes are cured, which was really the case. The next day, on looking at my eyes, my wife noticed that the cataract had disappeared. I put away my outdoor glasses, which I have not required since, and through the understanding gained by studying Christian Science, I've been able to do away with my indoor glasses also, and have no return of pain in my eyes since. This is now a year and a half ago. GFS, Liverpool, England.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import, and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 14 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Soul. The golden text is from Psalms. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. The responsive reading, Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let love be
without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Dede from Georgia will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Proverbs. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul. Genesis. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, into the ark. they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And God spake unto Noah, and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you. I do set my bow on the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Psalm. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the sea, and established it upon the flood. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. 1 Peter. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." 1 Thessalonians. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Colossians. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
Carol will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. As used in Christian Science, soul is properly the synonym of spirit, or God. The divine mind maintains all identities from a blade of grass to a star as distinct and eternal. The questions are, what are God's identities? What is soul? Does life or soul exist in the thing formed? Soul is synonymous with spirit, God, the creative, governing, infinite principle outside of finite form, which forms only reflect. Soul is the substance, life, and intelligence of man, which is individualized, but not in matter. Soul can never reflect anything inferior to spirit. Man is the expression of soul. Life is the law of soul, even the law of the spirit of truth. And soul is never without its representative. Man's individual being can no more die nor disappear in unconsciousness than can soul, for both are immortal. Soul is the divine principle of man and never sins, hence the immortality of soul. In science, we learn that it is material sense, not soul, which sins, and it will be found that it is the sense of sin which is lost, and not a sinful soul. When understanding changes the standpoints of life and intelligence from a material to a spiritual basis, we shall gain the reality of life, the control of soul over sense, and we shall perceive Christianity or truth in its divine principle. This must be the climax before harmonious and immortal man is obtained and his capabilities revealed. It is highly important, in view of the immense work to be accomplished before this recognition of divine science can come, to turn our thoughts towards divine principle, that finite belief may be prepared to relinquish its error. Man's wisdom finds no satisfaction in sin, since God has sentenced sin to suffer. The sharp experiences of belief in the supposititious life of matter, as well as our disappointments and ceaseless woes, turn us like tired children to the arms of divine love. Then we begin to learn life in divine science. Without this process of weaning, canst thou by searching find out God? It is easier to desire truth than to rid oneself of error. Mortals may seek the understanding of Christian science, but they will not be able to glean from Christian science the facts of being without striving for them. This strife consists in the endeavor to forsake error of every kind and to possess no other consciousness but good. Through the wholesome chastisements of love, we are helped onward in the march towards righteousness, peace, and purity, which are the landmarks of science. Beholding the infinite tasks of truth, we pause, wait on God. Then we push onward until boundless thought walks enraptured and conception unconfined is winged to reach the divine glory. In order to apprehend more, we must put into practice what we already know. We must recollect that truth is demonstrable when understood, and that good is not understood until demonstrated. If faithful over a few things, we shall be made rulers over many. But the one unused talent decays and is lost. When the sick or the sinning awake to realize their need of what they have not, they will be receptive of divine science, which gravitates towards soul and away from material sense, removes thought from the body, and elevates even mortal mind to the contemplation of something better than disease or sin. The true idea of God gives the true understanding of life and love, robs the grave of victory, takes away all sin and the delusion that there are other minds, and destroys mortality. The effects of Christian science are not so much seen as felt. It is the still small voice of truth uttering itself. We are either turning away from this utterance, or we are listening to it and going up higher. The higher nature of man is not governed by the lower. If it were, the order of wisdom would be reversed. Our false views of life hide eternal harmony and produce the ills of which we complain. Because mortals believe in material laws and reject the science of mind, this does not make materiality first and the superior law of soul last. You would never think that flannel was better for warding off pulmonary disease than the controlling mind if you understood the science of being. In science, man is the offspring of spirit. The beautiful, good, and pure constitute his ancestry. His origin is not, like that of mortals, in brute instinct, nor does he pass through material conditions prior to reaching intelligence. Spirit is his primitive and ultimate source of being. God is his Father, and life is the law of his being. The notion that animal natures can possibly give force to character is too absurd for consideration when we remember that through spiritual ascendancy, our Lord and Master healed the sick, raised the dead, and commanded even the winds and the waves to obey him. Grace and truth are potent beyond all other means and methods. The lack of spiritual power in the limited demonstration of popular Christianity does not put to silence the labor of centuries. Spiritual, not corporeal, consciousness is needed. Man delivered from sin, disease, and death presents the true likeness or spiritual idea. Dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind? This command includes much, even the surrender of all merely material sensation, affection, and worship. This is the El Dorado of Christianity. It involves the science of life and recognizes only the divine control of spirit, in which soul is our master.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 208. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O gentle presence, peace and joy and power, O life divine that owns each waiting hour, thou love that guards the nestling's faltering flight, keep thou my child on upward wing tonight. Hymn number 208.
Thank you. to stand before your Maker, full of wonder, full of fear. Come behold his power and glory, yet with confidence draw near. For the one who holds the heaven and commands the stars above, in the God who bends to bless us with an unrelenting love.
Rejoice, come and lift your hands and raise your voice. He is worthy of all praise. Rejoice, sing with mercies of your King and with
Let's now sing hymn number 374. We thank thee and we bless thee, O Father of us all, that even before we ask thee, thou hearest thy children's call. We praise thee for thy goodness and tender, constant care. We thank thee, Father, Mother, that thou hast heard our prayer. Hymn number 374.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, the scientific statement of being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, or its infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure. Son, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Amen.